The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor of Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever I hear this gospel with John the Baptist saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," I'm always reminded back of my high school days. I went to St. Pius X High School back in the 70s, 75 to 80. And back then, Immaculata High School was all girls. And there was a joint production that our two schools put on together, Godspell, a musical based on the Gospel of Matthew. And the way that musical begins is with the lights out and John the Baptist, or the person playing John the Baptist, coming from the back of the auditorium with just a spotlight on him, singing a cappella, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." It was a very powerful beginning. And I knew the fellow, Mark Lessard, who had played John the Baptist, and he was a real big, burly fellow, and he had a beard and just booming voice. And what a way to capture the essence of John the Baptist's cry to prepare the way of the Lord. And this really is what Advent is all about. We're preparing for a deeper birth and coming of Jesus in our lives and in our world, and even preparing for his final coming when he will reign over all the earth and will do away with all evils and suffering and establish his definitive kingdom. And so this season of Advent is a beautiful season of the year. Unfortunately, our culture knows nothing about Advent. Our culture already, right after Halloween, began playing Christmas songs in the malls, right? And it's all about Christmas. And even Christmas now, very rarely is any reference to Jesus. It's all about Santa Claus and gifts and whatever, which is not wrong in itself. But the absence of Christ is very noticeable, especially even in the Christmas music a lot of times being played on the radio. So our Advent, our culture has no concept of Advent. This beautiful season of the year is completely lost. And not only that, then when we finally come to Christmas and we really want to celebrate it, the church gives us 12 days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, you know, that's there's 12 days of Christmas, but our culture knows nothing about that. Come Boxing Day, Christmas is over. So our culture is completely out of whack with our church and our faith. And I would say increasingly so. We live in a very secular, materialistic, and increasingly hostile culture to Christian faith and values. We need to be aware of that. We need to fight that. And we need to try to use all of our energy to preserve and cultivate the true spirit of the year. Right now, it's the Advent season. So how do we prepare for the coming of the Lord? Well, one of the themes, just one theme I want to focus on, is through silence. The cultivation of silence in our lives and in our liturgy. Silence is in crisis today in our culture. We live in a very noisy, noisy culture, or where there's sound continually on all the time. And in fact, many of us are addicted to it, right? We can't even walk down the street without listening to our headphones. Or as soon as we get home, we've got to turn on the TV or the radio or go on the internet, be on our cell phones talking to somebody. We don't know what it is anymore to be silent. And yet silence is God's preferred language. You could say His preferred love language is silence. I once heard a scientist comment how most of the universe is filled with silence. Think of the distances between the planets and the galaxies and the stars. The silence. And we know that was created by God. And it's not an empty silence. That's the thing. When we talk about cultivating silence, we're not talking about cultivating an emptiness for the sake of an emptiness. It's cultivating silence because God is in the silence. The silence is pregnant with the love and the presence of God, which we can only access if we learn to be still, as the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. To quiet the noise in our hearts and minds and around us so that we can be aware of the presence of God. This is so, so vital in our day to day. And it's God's primary language. I want to comment briefly or quote from Pope Benedict in a beautiful writing on the liturgy that he wrote actually prior to his being elected Pope around the year 2000. Beautiful book called The Spirit of the Liturgy. And here's what he says about silence, especially with regards to liturgy. He says, "We are realizing more and more clearly that silence is part of the liturgy. We respond by singing and praying to the God who addresses us. But the greater mystery, surpassing all words, summons us to silence. It must, of course, be a silence with content, not just the absence of speech and action. We should expect the liturgy to give us a positive stillness that will restore us. Such stillness will not be just a pause in which a thousand thoughts and desires assault us, but a time of recollection, giving us an inward peace, allowing us to draw breath and rediscover the one thing necessary which we have forgotten." Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. He makes more comments, but I'll leave it at that for now. But so looking at silence in the liturgy, and especially in the reform of the liturgy, we've been now 1 year with the new reformed translation of our Mass, of the Roman Missal. And along with the translation itself, which has restored the nobility of the language of the liturgy and brought back greater emphasis to the sacredness, the holiness, the majesty of what we are entering into, the sacred mysteries. Besides that, the Church also promulgated at the same time a new general instruction on the Roman liturgy, which is often called the GIRM, G-I-R-M, the General Instruction on the Roman Liturgy, which gives all of the background explanations of how we are to conduct the liturgy and why and what we should be emphasizing and not. And in that general instruction, one of the things that was always there but has been given new and greater emphasis is that we need to be respecting and cultivating more silence at different places in the liturgy. And you know, Father Lawrence and I have already been implementing that, but just to explain that that is where the Church is asking us to do. And yet it's difficult. Even we as priests sometimes feel pressed by time and people are in a hurry and, you know, the whole idea of just being still and taking pauses, you know, or extended time of silence. It's hard. We're all we all tend to be a little restless, a little uncomfortable with that kind of silence. And yet, as the Holy Father said, it is integral, essential to good liturgy. And what is liturgy? The worship and the adoration that we give to God as His people, as His mystical body. Worshipping God in spirit and truth. Entering into the heavenly liturgy that is going on before the throne of God that we see so beautifully described in the book of Revelation. And so, to look at silence in the liturgy, I'd like to now briefly go through the different places of silence. The very first place of silence is actually before Mass starts. We should try, if at all possible, not to just arrive right at 11 o'clock. Oftentimes, if we do, what ends up happening? We come in late, right? But to try to come early enough so that we have at least 3, 4, 5 minutes to prepare ourselves in silence for the sacred mysteries we are about to enter into. And again, think of it this way. We are coming out of a world which is profane and secular and increasingly materialistic and hostile to Christian values. And we're bombarded during the week with all of that noise and all of that secularism. And so when we enter into the church, this is meant to be in a sacred space where we are actually entering into the kingdom of God and the liturgy that is taking place in the divine throne, before the divine throne of the Lamb. And so, but to go from one world into another is not something we can just automatically enter into. We need to, as it were, spiritually decompress. We come out of the world and all the busyness and noise, or the rush, even the rush to get ready for Mass and get here on time. And we need to be able to arrive and sit or kneel down and decompress ourselves and quiet the mind and heart so that we can be aware that already God is with us and we are now in a sacred space and we are now gathering with our brothers and sisters, the family of God, to worship the living God. And that takes some time to do it properly. And therefore, we need to try to come a few minutes early. And of course, also try never to be late. It's a great tragedy when we have to rush in, you know, 3, 4 minutes late and the liturgy has already begun. So I really encourage that silence, first of all. Then again, as we move through quickly the liturgy, the next place of silence is when we pause briefly to call to mind our sins. Not to put ourselves down, but to recognize the mercy of God, that we are sinners, but God has had mercy on us. And so we acknowledge our sinfulness in order to receive mercy. And then, when the priest says, "Let us pray," you might be wondering, because we used to just say, "Let us pray," and we'd start praying. The priest would say the prayer. But now, and again, a lot of churches, they haven't quite caught this yet, but the liturgy calls for a time of silence after the priest says, "Let us pray." Because he's saying, "Let us pray," not just me, us. And so that moment of silence is again to raise the mind and heart to God in the silence of our hearts for a brief moment of prayer. And then the priest, really his prayer, is basically to conclude the prayer that's already going on in our hearts. Then we move to the liturgy of the word. And after each reading, there's meant to be a time of silence. Again, not prolonged too long, but at least 10, 20 seconds. And what is that silence for? We have just heard the word of God, which is living and active. But again, that word, it's so easy, like the words in our culture and the words and the busyness that we hear during our day. It's easy for words to go in one ear and out the other, right? And so we need a moment to allow the word to not only penetrate our ears, but to sink into our hearts. And even just for a moment, to be like Mary, pondering that word, or one specific phrase, perhaps, that jumps out of us. Just to meditate and reflect briefly on that word so that it really is received, not just heard, but received in the heart. Then the next place of silence is after the homily. And that place, again, is after we've heard the preaching of the word, the homily given to us. Now we want to take a moment to reflect on what we've heard, but also to respond in our hearts. Because usually the homily will be asking us to consider something or to respond in a way. And so we take a moment of silence to meditate on that and to say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I want to respond to this word." Then as we move into the liturgy of the Eucharist, the next moment of silence, which we haven't often emphasized, but reading Pope Benedict's book on the liturgy, I realized he said it really is a beautiful moment of silence, very brief, but very filled. And that is the moment of consecration. When the priest raises the consecrated host and chalice that have now become the presence of Jesus in our midst, a moment to silently adore Him in our hearts, to gaze upon Him and to adore Him. It's a beautiful moment. Then moving on in the liturgy, the next moment, and perhaps the most important moment of silence, extended moment of silence, is after we receive Holy Communion. Holy Communion is meant to bring us into communion with the living God. We have just received Jesus Christ, and now we are to commune with Him, to be in a communion of heart and mind with the Lord present within us. And we do that individually, but we do that also corporately together, recognizing that we are one body now in Christ because we've all received the living Lord Jesus. And so that moment of silence after communion, some people might wonder, how come they're not wrapping this thing up? Why are we just sitting here? That's the reason, so that we will try to cultivate deeper prayer together as His body. And by the way, to be together in silence, it's powerful. It really is. But we should also try to cultivate greater silence in our lives outside of Mass. And especially in this Advent season, to hasten the call, to try to add more prayer to our lives. Or perhaps to come for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in our Adoration Chapel. If we haven't been coming, to come during the Advent season. Set aside time each day in our busy lives. We need to cultivate silence and stillness and solitude in order to really deepen our faith. And so I'd encourage, this word is not just for the liturgy, it's for our entire lives. And yet, it's a battle. The Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about prayer, personal prayer, being a battle to really fight for that space and time, because there's so much in our lives that try to rob us and steal that peace, that stillness in our hearts. So I'd encourage all of us here today in this holy season of Advent, this is the season above all of silent preparation, pondering, waiting, yearning, longing, praying, O come, Emmanuel, come Lord Jesus, come and be born in my heart. So let us make it our prayer today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this holy season of Advent, and we thank You for the gift of Your church and the gift of the sacred liturgy, which gives us opportunities to worship You together as Your body, and also to enter into the great mysteries through moments of silence. Help us, Lord, to truly cultivate this prayerful silence in our lives, here at Mass, but also in our own personal lives, so that we may come into a deeper experience of Your presence, of Your love, of Your peace in our hearts, and be more united to You. We ask this, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.